Oh, what's yes. up?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, man.
Sweet.
The afterglow of the Salt Lake City. Getting ready to go to Vegas, man. Got a lot to talk about there. Before we jump right into it, though, let's talk a little bit about YouTube's new features that they're letting us play around with. And ultimately, the people who decided to step up and just like say, hey, we dig your podcast, and we're going to make sure that we join as members. We call them the Worldwide Thunder Family. Wayne, Smitsta, K Bizzle, Blake, you guys are the founding members. Obviously, Ryan, first person to hook us up with any sort of financial donation. This is really cool. This is YouTube fucking with our clits, bro.
That's it, man. And you gotta look at it like this, is that like I never wanted to be on here looking for money, looking for anything else like that. But the reality of where we're at is that we want to put more and more time into this. And that's what we want. We want to be able to put more time into this. We want to be able to bring you guys pre-games. Mark and I spend 15, 30 minutes sometimes before games talking about the games. We've never recorded that stuff. And to us, it's not necessarily recordable stuff, but we want to be able to bring you guys into that and allow you guys to be part of that conversation because, you know, Mark and I are very open. We like to, you know, keep things on the fly. And you guys have always been there for us for the last 3 years. So this is something that as time goes on, we're going to definitely be coming in and doing that.
Absolutely. And what's up, Easton? He's asking about chat. I think that's a really amazing, you know, place to start. We just saw the Salt Lake City Summer League. We watched Chet. We watched Usman Jang. We watched Trey Mann. And we watched J-Dub. We saw those four guys who we expect to at least see some rotational minutes for the Thunder. Shackleford, Butler, like these guys have two-way ability, but we're not sure about those guys. So let's start with Chet, Dave. With his rookie year incoming, where do you feel like Chet's at? How do you think this is going to go for his rookie campaign?
Yeah, I've been really open about this since we got him. I kind of felt that your mic, Mark, by the way, you can probably want to reset that. I really felt since we drafted him, our entire system in the Oklahoma City Thunder is built around Chet. If you think about the way that Chet moves with the ball, without the ball, the way that he plays defense first mentality is Chet has always been that player that Sam Presti, I considered needing to be part of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that's really, to me, is where I see Chet. What do I see him being for this Thunder team in his rookie season? I think that he's going to be up there in the talks to rookie of the year all year long. I think he's going to average someplace between 14 and 19 points a game, comfortably, very comfortably doing that, because he's not going to be required to take a lot of shots in the system that we're playing in. The system flows with inside of everybody that plays in the system, which is kind of, you know, nice. So he will touch the ball a lot. But really where he's going to earn his stripes this year are definitely going to be the rebounds and the block shots. The way that he's able to block shots is truly spectacular. And it's something I want to talk about last night that I watched, or 2 nights ago that I watched, that I didn't bring up because we didn't have a podcast, but Jay Will and Chet playing next side by side. How many times do we see a player come down the line and Jay Will stepped up and absorbed the most of the contact, allowing Chet? And we talked about this a lot.
Six or seven times, I think, already in the summer league.
Exactly, man. So to me, this is when you see a person hit the body of Jay Will and Jay Will just takes it, and then they have to run, you know, through Chet still. It makes things really difficult for a player to get off the ground. So this is going to be really good to see how these other guys can really step up. But Chet, to me, is going to be that key that everybody's going to be able to stop and say, okay, the rest of the NBA is truly fucked. I mean, they really are fucked now, because there's no chance that we're going to be able to compete with them for years.
So that's, yeah, obviously Chet's defense was looking great. His offense a little rusty. His shot definitely looked like the mechanics were out of game speed practice. Not out of practice, but just like the game speed was a little bit uncomfortable with him at times. But I felt like it was really cool to see Presti and everybody just like come out
Sammy.
And give him the opportunity to work through it. Like you were saying, 10 minutes is what you expected, but he played 20 plus and he kept playing. You expect him to play in Vegas, right?
Yeah. You know, Kassan is definitely going to play in Vegas. I think the fact that he signed his contract yesterday and the fact that he was suited up last night, shooting around before the game. So I do believe he's going to be playing.
So Sammy.
I do believe J-Dub will play for at least a game, if not more. You know, this is a bigger summer league, so I do think that there's going to be more desire to, you know, showcase the talent. So I do think that there's going to be that. But there will be a time that we pull the ripcord and our players won't play anymore. Our top players won't play anymore. So, and that's not a bad, that's not a knock on these players, but it just, it's at some point, Sam Presti and Coach D are going to say, Chet isn't in shape enough now. We're good. J-Dub is good. You know, Trey Mann's proven he's good. Usman Jang is good. Even though these guys need minutes, it's still going to be good for these guys to, you know, allow other players to play. So I don't know if JRE, I don't know any of these other guys at what's happening right now, but I do assume that there's going to be more players than what we've seen on the bench this last time.
All right, so Trey Mann obviously was the talk of the Salt Lake City Summer League. Big play at the early eight, but really just consistent play throughout the entire time. Do you think he made a case for himself? Do you think this is something that could be impacted by Summer League play, or was he already on the outside looking in?
Trey Mann, to me, has always been a hot subject. I love the way he can play. He reminds me a lot of a streaky shooter. You know, you do need players like that on your team. You know, the NBA is full of those guys that can come in and score 20 points off the bench for three or four games in a row and then not be heard of for three or four games. So I'm okay with that type of player being there. What I was more impressed with what Trey Mann was doing was he was playing some incredible defense out there. Something that I hadn't seen from him in prior times. So the improvement for me, yes, the scoring was there, but this isn't a team about all scoring. You know what I'm saying, Mark? Mm-hmm. This isn't a team that just, you know, we want you to play. There's so many guys that can score in the league effortlessly, but that's not what this team wants. This team wants two-way guys in the aspect of defense and offense. Think about Trey Mann. He last year, 2 years ago, his offense has been spectacular, but where has he lost time from? His defense, right? We mm-hmm. watched Isaiah Joe come in the beginning of the year. Everybody talked about Isaiah Joe and how good of an offensive player he was. Well, where did Isaiah Joe get his minutes at from the defensive end? He was a hustle player, taking charges, getting steals. He was everywhere. He earned his minutes on the defensive end. So for Trey Mann, this is where it has to be at right now. Trey Mann has to step up that defense in NBA competition, and that's how he's going to be able to get more time. Take it away from whoever you want, Trey Mann, because it is not going to be given to you.
All right, so I agree. I think he made a case for minutes, but in the end, like, you're playing summer league competition. You got to go out there and perform. I think he will get some time. I don't know how much, and I don't know how well he'll do with it once the competition increases. But we're all, like, hoping for the best with Trey, and I think, like, there's a lot to look forward to there. Now, Usman. So, coming into the summer league after a couple of games, especially with Chet and J-Dub out there, the first game, I was like, you know, I want to see Usman be more aggressive. I want him to go out there and honestly force things. You don't like to see somebody force things very often, but he was just so passive. I was like, let's just see. And this last game, we got to see him do that. And I think we came into the game thinking, what we need from Usman is to be more aggressive. And then we're come out of the game saying, okay, what Usman needs to work on is those turnovers. Like, I could understand why some people would be like, oh, that's frustrating. I feel like we took a step backwards. But, like, if you want somebody to be more aggressive, there's going to be a downside. And when the downside comes, you have to be able to circle it and say, like, there's an opportunity for improvement. And that's what I see with Usman. He's still one of the youngest players on the team.
Yeah, Oklahoma City Thunder fans should know this already. I mean, every Oklahoma City Thunder fan loved Russell Westbrook, but they fucking hated him in the same sentence. You know, like, how many times would be in a close game and Russ would come down and jack up a three from, you know, just after half court or something like that. And everybody's like, what the fuck? You know, like, or he would turn over the ball trying to throw an alley-oop to Kendrick Perkins. My point is that like you have to keep that aggression, and sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. Last night I felt like, you know, it was 50-50 with the 9 turnovers that Usman Jang had, but the way he played otherwise, I felt like it was outstanding. You know, Chet had a few turnovers by dribbling when he should have. This is all part of what's going on. Like, we have tall, lanky guys, and the ball's going to be stolen from them. You got to be able to understand when to dribble, when not to dribble. And that comes with maturity and age. And the fact is, Usman Jang, I believe, is the same age as Kassan, right? They're both 19, right?
Probably, man. So I don't know.
Just keep that in mind, guys. Maybe Usman just turned 20, but the point is that they're super young, and you got to give these guys an extra step.
Sammy, change the subject real quick, but this is an easy thing for us. Now, a lot of people listening don't agree, but that's fine. Dave and I are undivided on this. You must get Bill Simmons. Fuck Bill Simmons.
Fuck
you must
Bill
get
Simmons.
Ben Simmons, if you can. Like, I get it. There's concern. Will he be productive? Is he getting paid too much?
But listen, you know how you get that shit out of there? Is,
what's up, Bones?
Dave Simmons, man. You hired Dave Simmons in your staff. And say what you want. Dave Simmons was a great hooper in the NBL. He was a great hooper in Oklahoma before the NBL. He has roots in Oklahoma. So for me, like, this is a no-brainer. You go and get Dave Simmons on your staff. You help Ben Simmons become that player. And Dave, in my opinion, is one of those guys that will steady the ship. Ben is an incredible, talented young man. I would say that Ben Simmons on this team would be phenomenal, but you need to give the young man time.
And I want to say right now, I'm angry at this fucking narrative that he's a quitter, that he doesn't want to play, that yada, yada, yada. It's bullshit. Like, 100%, this comes back to Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers as an organization, as a city, right? Like, throwing Ben under the bus.
Sup, Shane?
Like, if you remember the playoffs, like, you got to shoot when you're the close to that basket. Like, this was always Ben's game. He's always a pass-first guard. He's a defensive player. So, like, to suddenly be like, oh, well,
we're
losing.
You can't force this guy to score. I mean, I'm sorry. You just can't. You can't force somebody that's not used to taking shots every single game to all of a sudden start taking 20 shots a game. That's just not how the game goes. But, like, we see that with Dort already. So.
Dave, this is what's still shocking to me. Like, I had to look it up, but he's 26. He's 26 years old still. I mean, to me, I thought he was, like, 28. But, like, theoretically, 26 in the NBA, you're entering your prime.
Oh yeah, dude. And like, that's why the Nets won't trade him. Let's just be honest. The reason is they won't trade him is because he has no value. Like, you probably could get a first round pick, maybe two first round picks if you're lucky right now.
You can't get two. You might get one if it's in the 20s.
Yeah, and my point about that
is
that
the Nets, talent.
The Nets aren't going to do that. When he gets back to his, you know, semi half himself in the Nets mind before half of the year is over, they probably could get double or triple up their output for him. So for me, it's if Sam was able to put together a trade package for him right now and snatch him off the table, that is a whole new conversation. And to me, what would it take to get him? Who would we have to give up to get him? And it would all be, I think everything is on hold.
Trey, man. All right. But listen, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. But like, here's my question though. If you are Sam Presti, if you are Coach Daigneault, and you bring Ben Simmons into the fold, and you're like, all right, we want what's best for your career. We want what's best for you. And if what's best, if you're getting what's best for you, then you're going to help the team. Like, he definitely, if he's at his best, he helps improve the team.
Yeah.
He raises the team ceiling immediately.
Yep.
Now, what would you do if you were in that spot to ensure that he got the support he needed to be his best self?
I would have to have a conversation with Ben Simmons and his family. I'd have to have a conversation with his friends that are people that are around him to say, how do I make Ben happy? How do I make things work here? Because, you know, Ben as a superstar is what we need. Ben as a Nets player is not what we need. You know, like,
I can't blame him because Jacques Vaughn, as much as I like him as a person,
he's a hard coach.
And he threw Ben under the bus over and over and over again, be like, yo, he's healthy. He's not playing. don't ask me. Like, those types of things, like, that's a lack of support from the organization. And you go from a city like Philly, who is willing to boo their own players.
In the time of day, I don't understand why people can't understand. Healthy physically doesn't mean healthy mentally.
Right? Well, you went through major injuries, bro. You understand the difference, but a lot of people don't.
And just because you're healthy and then you're mentally not healthy because you don't want to go out there and put your body on the line like that again. Think about this. I would never in my right mind go from 0 to 150 at anything. That goes from taking LSD. That's going from taking mushrooms. That's going to taking like anything in life. I'm never going 0 to 150. And the reason I'm never going 0 to 150, right?
Right.
Is because people get injured. So you're asking Ben Simmons, who hasn't played in quite a while.
Look at KD, man.
Right? Go 0 to 150 because that's what the NBA is like. It's 150 miles fucking an hour. And it's like, poof. And you're like, Ben Simmons, let's go, man. You're healthy. No. Get his mind right. Get his mind right. Then put him out there. Because if his mind's not right, then he's everywhere else. He doesn't need to be.
I agree. I think going from 0 to 150 is stupid. And I think finding yourself in a spot where everybody's pointing their finger at you saying like, oh, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. Like, that's not good. So for me, like you said, Dave Simmons, Ben Simmons' dad, he played at OBU. He's in Oklahoma.
He went to Oklahoma City University, which is a Christian university there in Oklahoma City.
Right. So like, this is a double situation. We support him because he's Australian. We support him because of the Oklahoma roots. We support him because he's a young player in the NBA who's an all NBA talent. And there's nobody that we like to see bad things happen to. But like putting him in the same class as Zion Williamson, just because they both appeared to be healthy and they wouldn't play. That's not fair to Ben. I think what we need to do is support Ben no matter what. If we do that and he ends up playing for the Thunder, great. If he never plays again in the NBA, I'm going to look at that as like one of the saddest stories in NBA history. And I'm going to fully blame the organizations that destroyed his career. I'm not going to blame Ben. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fucking blame Ben because let's face it, man. Like, I've never had anything like Philadelphia fans coming at me or Brooklyn fans coming at me. And then the coach to sit there and throw you under the bus and say, I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, yeah. He won't play. Like, that's bullshit. So like, just out of like pure, like I like to see like, the right thing done for players,
man.
Like, I'm upset about it.
We started off with being Oklahoma City Thunder fans, like massively Oklahoma City Thunder fans. And as the years have gone, we're starting our fourth season coming up here. As the season's gone on, we've turned into massive Australian fans, you know, whether it's Australian sports, the AFL, NBL, it doesn't matter. We're massive fans of what's happening in Australia with sports right now and in the NBL. And seeing, again, with Ben Simmons and how he's struggling right now, like, to me, like, this is like, it's hard for me because I'm a fan of Australian hoops and I want him to be right. And I want him to be right first before he tries to step out on the court again. And Why do I think the Oklahoma City Thunder could be the best thing for him is because the organization is top fucking level. And if he came to the organization, you know, he would get the best output out there. And I know people are like, no, we don't want him. I don't care what you say. He is in first team all NBA talent, right? That
you have
is
to take
so cheap right now. Mm-hmm. And you could build your team and finish your team and rounding them off with Ben Simmons. I mean, it's crazy.
Like, this isn't like a situation of like the legend of Beggar Vance where he lost his game. Like, he stopped getting supported by the organizations. And so he decided, like, how can I play if they're going to throw me on the bus before I ever step out on the court? Like, his game was never shooting threes or shooting free throw line jumpers. It was get to the hole and play top level defense. And he was a really elite passer. So,
yeah.
All right. Bring him back to what makes him great.
All right. Let's Carson brought up who's getting traded first, Dame or Harden.
Harden.
I want to say this. I think both deals are already done. They're looking for a third team to throw in here, both of them. I think the deal is already done that Harden is going to Los Angeles Clippers for Kawhi.
Oh, really?
And the deal is already done where Damian Lillard is going to Miami.
Wait, hang on. Harden
Damian
for
Lillard
Kawhi?
Damian Lillard to Miami, Harden for Kawhi.
Who would give up Kawhi Leonard for Harden?
Dude, just look at his track record in playing.
Like, I want Kawhi instead of Harden.
Well, if you throw Harden and, you know, a blank piece, then the deal's done. So Harden is playing in Los Angeles, in my opinion, next year. Okay. And the only thing that makes sense is if Kawhi is coming back, because they're not trading PG-13.
Why not? Why wouldn't you trade PG-13 before
Because
Kawhi?
He's an easier piece to put around somebody else. Kawhi, he's not playing every single game right now.
What's good, Mwani?
It's hard, man. Like, I don't know another output way of saying, I mean, maybe Harden goes to the Pelicans for Zion. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense there either. Like, there's one place that makes sense for Harden to go, and there's one place that makes sense where Damian Lillard goes.
All right. Tell me the Dame one.
The Dame one is being held up because they obviously Miami. Don't want Tyler Hero, and they're trying to figure out Tyler Hero. You know, I think they're one of the reasons that people have been saying that there's interest with Martin. Get his first name.
Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb Martin for the Oklahoma City Thunder is because they're shopping him as part of a piece to bring in more draft picks or a young asset too. And they're calling teams around. So that's what's happening right now, is they're trying to find a third team to bring more assets in, another draft pick, first round draft pick, or, you know, a couple second rounders or something like that. So it will get done pretty quickly, I think. So who gets done first? It's whoever is willing to fold it quicker. I think that during the summer league, a lot of things get done because everybody's sitting in one spot and they can talk to everybody. And I think the deals are pretty much done anyways, but the minor parts that aren't being connected will be connected.
So,
I mean, look at Kawhi. Why wouldn't he go and play for Nick Nurse? He loved Nick Nurse. Like, it was one of the reasons he almost stayed in Toronto.
The Clippers would be crazy to let him go. That's why. But so there's a lot of talk about this amateur NBA analyst account Mawani's mentioning. They're getting a lot of hype, bro. Everybody's talking about how they can predict the future.
Yeah.
You following it?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Are you following that account right now, the NBA?
No, dude. No. I look at Twitter and I only have Woj and Shams I'm constantly looking at.
Well,
like, nobody
else.
Out.
Because amateur NBA analyst is predicting the future on all of these deals.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well,
Google it.
I'm probably way off of my predictions then.
Like, they not, I don't know what they're predicting right now. I've seen a few articles written about how I think they even got their account suspended because they were too right.
Wow.
Yeah, on Twitter. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but like, it, for a while it was like they just kept nailing it. They called the Harden, would opt in and then demand a trade like 3 days before it happened.
Wow.
They were like just sitting there just nailing it. And so you're like, okay, yeah, this is a good thing for Twitter. But then all of a sudden they get banned because they were right. Like, fuck that anyway.
I mean, it could be an NBA analyst trying to make money on the side.
What's up, Eclipse? Yeah, dude, that's the thing. He says he has friends in, like, as agents and knows enough about the league, and it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that's more. I didn't hear about that. That's crazy.
It's a good thing. Like, keep an eye out for that one, because when they make a prediction, it seems to come true. But at the same time, it's like Twitter. So you just delete your untrue predictions, and everybody thinks you're right all the time.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. All right, so how do you feel about the summer league so far, man? Like, we watched the Thunder go 2-1. We were just stomping the living shit out of I don't even care who it was last night anymore. It was the 76ers. I mean, that's how much I didn't care about it.
You see Nick Nurse like chewing his nails.
Yeah,
like,
and he was old, you know, whatever, but we were kicking them so hard, and then they came back and roared their head and cut the lead to like 5 at one point. I think we were winning by 31. So it's a 26-point turnaround for the 76ers. But that's all right, because we're good to go. We got ooze on the loose, as Matt says. Welcome, Matt. Yeah, man, it was just exciting. Good stuff.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with the Summer League. There's a lot of hype to be had. In the end, we really shouldn't get too far past Chet, though, because in the end, like, yeah, Usman, yeah, Trey Mann. J-Dub proved in one game that he doesn't belong out there. He's an NBA-level player. So
his
Chet,
body,
we're
dude.
Like, It's about knocking off that rust.
So thick.
You know, like you hear about a running back or somebody like in the NFL, a quarterback comes back from injury, right? And they say like they need to get hit. Once they get hit the first time, then they know they're good. And Chet took some falls, bro. He took some contact. I think he feels a lot more confident in his body now.
Yeah, and his lungs, man, I can't even express it to people. Like, all right, so there's running around with your buddies. I'm playing pickup ball, and then there's playing in a game. And there's nothing that prepares you for it. For the first, like, 3 to 5 minutes, like, you're barely breathing. Your lungs are on fire. Your face is beat red. You're, like, sweating so horribly. So it was great to see that out of Chet, and he was able to step up and play in both games. I didn't think he was going to play in both games. I thought he was going to play in one game, take a game off, and then play in the last game. That shows you what I know about the league and my predictions. So don't always listen to me, guys, when I say I'm predicting stuff. But I do want to say is that the way that this team played with Chet on the floor was really fun. I mean, it wasn't just Chet. It was J-Will. It was J-Dub. It was Trey Mann and Usman Jang, and it was Shackleford, and it was McConnell. I really liked McConnell's game last night. Like, all these guys that are playing really well, dude, it was great to see. You had Zaire Smith, the 16th pick in the 2018. One of our listeners threw that out for me last night. He was looking good. He was, like, fucking fire. Like, anytime he touched the ball, it was almost automatically a layup or a jump shot or a three-point shot. Like incredible scores. So it's really great to see all these other young guys that are coming in through the system that are getting opportunities right now.
Yo, so Carson's saying, so if Dame goes to Miami, does that team win a championship next year? How are you going to stop Jimmy and Dame? And if you were the 76ers fan, how worried would you be about the future?
If I'm the 76ers fan, I'm asking the GM and the president saying, listen, we missed this decade. We just missed it. We're not going to win a championship. Let's plan for next decade.
Wow. So I mean, you got the MVP and you're...
What are you going to do? You're going to sit with the MVP and always barely get into the playoffs or get to the first round and get beat in the first round? Or, like, dude, know. We've seen
maybe
this happen before.
Maybe somebody better than Harden.
But think about this. We've seen this before happen with the 76ers. And it was purgatory for them. They say what you want. They never won a championship. They might have had the best player in the league for a couple of years, but they never won a championship. Allen Iverson was the lifeblood of that city, but he failed to bring a championship. And thus, he failed. Like, if I was Embiid, I wouldn't want that pressure at all. I would be like, you know what, guys? We've had a good run. No one wants to play with me here. I'm ready to go. I mean, seriously, like, get what you can out of me before I get injured again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Maxey, good player. Tyrese Maxey is a good player. But if you're saying he's going to be your number two basketball player on the court for the future, I mean... Yeah,
dude. I like him though. You got to keep him. He could be your third option and really like
a third or fourth option. He's like one of the best, but as a second option, man, you're in trouble because then you're looking at like players like Seth Curry being your third option and you're really, I mean, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like James Harden was great, but he was more like I don't know, dude. That's why I say the 76ers are going to be fine if they get Kawhi. If they just pay the price for Kawhi, they get Kawhi.
You can't get Kawhi.
And then you got Nick Nurse and Kawhi. You got James Harden gone. You got Embiid. And then you got everybody else that you can build around that team. You'll be all right. But otherwise, you're not going to be able to play with the Celtics. You're not going to be able to play. You're just not going to be able to play with anybody. You're done. Miami's going to be better than you with Dame. You're going to have, I mean, the Knicks are going to be right there nibbling at your heels. The Nets are going to be right there. I mean, come on. 76ers need to either fold it up or they need to go out and get Kawhi or somebody of his caliber. Otherwise, they're just done. Because if you just go get role players for James Harden, then you might as well just give your season up.
For sure. So my finger, I fucked up a ligament a little bit and I put this little splint on to protect it. It's been 2 weeks and it's still fucking swollen and it painful. So I'm going to leave it on for 2 more weeks. My birthday is on the 22nd. I'm going to try to take it off permanently then, hoping for the best at that point. But in the meantime, I'm thinking about picking up steel guitar and trying to do a little slide. But we'll see what happens. Carson, I agree totally, man. If you go with Jimmy Butler over Harris, this is a different situation. But Jimmy Butler was combustible, to say the least, and could potentially have a chance to run everybody else off if he's not happy. But I'm a big fan of what you're saying. I think Tobias Harris is...
I think Tobias Harris has to be connected to the whole Harden going to Los Angeles. I don't know. Okay. Again, I don't know how. I just think that... There has to be a moment where Los Angeles or 76ers are like, listen, we need Embiid to be happy, and this is the only way. Like, so Harris is great. Though, he's only missed a few games, but the reality is that he needs to be your third or fourth option. He can't be your number two option. He can't be your
you can't pay him like that. No. So like here's my thing, right? When Daryl Morey moved into the Philadelphia president of basketball.
My Reese taxi. Sorry.
Right. Then he decided Al Horford was no longer a part of the plan. And so he unloaded Al Horford to the Thunder for the 2025 first round pick and Misich. Now, a lot of people thought,
wasn't it Maladone or JRE that we got in return to or something like that?
Yeah, I think there was a second round pick thrown in there too.
Yeah, I forget.
So Misich is now showing up, right? Horford's been with the Celtics for a couple of years now, so that's worked out. And we're about to collect on that 2025 pick. Not about to, but we're getting very close to. Is there a chance that they're going to be looking at getting off Devin Harris in a similar deal?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
They need to.
Tobias Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have to. I think you have to look at it on a serious level that the 76ers are going to be looking at getting rid of Harris and James Harden. Yes, you might be able to keep Harris for one more year, but you're rolling the dice on that, man. And I don't know if I would want to roll the dice on holding Tobias. It's retool, man. Like, that's what this new NBA contract and CBA, man, it's making every team have to retool. You know, you're looking at the Golden State Warriors, you're looking at Los Angeles Lakers. Like, they're all retooling right now. There's a lot of teams that are in holding. Why are they in holding? Because they're waiting to see what happens with these trades, and then they will retool as well. They'll make some smaller trades. That's why we have some of the veterans that we have right now, and we haven't moved on those veterans. Why haven't we moved on those veterans? Because it's simple. We're not moving on those veterans because their value will double in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that's as simple as that can be, is when teams are set and they've missed out on Damian Lillard and these other players that are like, oh, we were that close to getting him. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to go back to what I call the bargain hunting. Which player can we get for a late first round pick? Which player can we get for 3 or 4 second rounders, you know? And it brings it back to it. So I do think that there's players on our team that we're looking at, whether it's Victor Oladipo or Misic or I hate saying it, but Patty Mills. If it's one of those guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they're heading out the door because another team's willing to pay double for what he's worth right now.
Exactly, Road Dog. We rehab vets, and that's why we think Ben Simmons is the right fit. Bill Simmons can fuck himself. Let's talk
Hell
about
yeah.
it.
Great. I want to throw this out here. Golden Soldier.
Golden Soldier. Say
we
hi.
We appreciate you, man. UK fan. Hell yes, man. I appreciate the support. Mark and I really enjoy doing this, and we're coming up on our fourth season right now. It's pretty spectacular. So we appreciate you, you showing up here. Golden Soldier.
Yeah, we appreciate your support. We're just too dumb motherfuckers trying to talk about our favorite team. So we appreciate that.
Cheers.
And anybody who's new, like, we appreciate you jumping into the chat like Golden Soldier did. It's it's important to us to hear from you guys, because this is what it's all about. Like, we're relatively new to YouTube, actually. We've been doing the podcast. This is our, we'll be going on our fourth season, right?
Yep. But
YouTube, we only started this, I think 9 months ago, right before the season kicked off last year. And it's already become like this, its own thing, right? Now yeah. we're live chat. We hang out with people during the games. And you know, we still record our podcast, but it's gone from you and me kind of trying to be like, oh, I'm going to impress you with my knowledge, to like, let's make it more of a live chat hangout every day.
And that's what it's about, man. It's about being able to talk to you guys that decided to pop up on our chat and answer the questions and be there. And people always ask us, when we have, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 fans, are we going to continue doing that? And the answer is always yes, without even thinking, because to us, it's about you guys. Like, we want to bring the conversation where you guys want to bring it. And sometimes we don't agree with the conversation where it's going, but we still talk about it because it's important for us to be making sure that you guys know that you're important to us. So,
Road Dog, that's on you. You're the one who fucks up all the twisted conversations. No, I'm just kidding.
Road Dog.
My bad.
Dude, no, it's hilarious.
He's joking the best, dude. Every time I'm like, yeah, he's got another one, dude.
It's the best, man. If you guys haven't seen some of Road Dog's work, go ahead and look back at some of his comments on our podcast through the last few months. It's fire.
Carson, what's good, man? What's up, Frank? So let's talk about Carson's comment. Is Cason Wallace playing? Is Keontae Johnson going to be playing in Vegas?
Yes, Keontae Johnson's probably going to play. I think he's getting cleared from his hamstring injury. So, Cason Wallace, I'm not too sure, man. That comes down to, is he been able to play or not?
I think he should be ready to play. I'm worried about Keontae Johnson playing because, like you said, hamstring injury. Like, if that's still even lingering a little bit, there's no way he's playing.
Yeah, you're right, man.
So,
but
yeah, Matt, Unk, for sure. It would be great to see these guys out there. We've heard Coach Degnault talking about what he's seen from Cason. Ed Reed is what he says he sees.
Man, that's insane, bro. If that's what Cason we're talking about,
would have played football like all the way through. Like, do you think he'd be NFL level?
I mean, all right. It depends the position. I mean, he's standing 6'4", right? If he was playing a defensive back at 6'4", I mean, that's a pretty good size defensive back. He would weigh more playing football, but his speed would be insane. If he was playing like a tight end, if he was playing a wide receiver, like these are different positions. But if he's playing like Ed Reed, that means that he's saying he's playing like a super physical safety, almost middle of the linebacker type role. And that's insane to me. Like if he's comparing him to one of the greats like that's something I haven't seen in the NBA for quite a while. And that excites me, man.
Never, bro.
Oh, like, man. It's something that's special, bro.
We're talking about elite level physicality, athleticism, anticipation, understanding of the game, understanding of your opponent's habits and what they like to do. And then, like, if you go back and watch Cason playing at Kentucky, like, he would stop the ball and then close out on the wing before the ball was passed.
Yeah.
It was like he was playing, you know, like, there's always a playing chess and he was playing checkers, like, yeah, that type of stuff.
He was playing but two
like,
positions while everybody else is playing one.
He was playing football when everybody else is playing basketball.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, moving to create, like, in football, right, you know, you don't have to intercept every ball. Right. If you can create a deflection, then the other team loses a down. Right. And I feel like Cason plays to create disruption. And it's not always like his goal to get every steal. Like Russ would be like, it's feast or famine, steal or and dunk or layup for the other team. Whereas Cason is like, compete, like keep your body between the man and the basket. But also, like, if you close out properly before the ball arrives,
yeah,
then the ball is a 50-50 ball. Yeah. If you close out late, then you can't touch the player. But if you get there before, then it's 50-50 and you have as much right to it as they do. And Cason's more physical.
Yeah. And I want to like give a huge shout out to everybody right here is go back and watch what we talked about with Cason in the draft, man. I'm telling you guys, pre-draft, Mark and I we really liked him. Mark was a little bit more critical about him just because of the size.
Oh, dude, I really ragged on him. I said,
but no, you
I
did.
Said he was 6'2", in my opinion, which was wrong. But like, I didn't look at his stats. I just looked at, and I also said he could only guard one position in the NBA.
But and you need I've to go back, to and you guys need to listen to it. And the reason you need to listen to it is because, like, what our ideas about who he was and what he can do are truly, that's it. That's elite. So I get excited about it. I think that he's going to be special. And like I said, he's got 2 years. He's got 2 years to take over Dort's position right now. And that's what I believe. If he comes out and he rips it away from Dort, then you'll see Dort get traded at the end of the year or the beginning of next season. If he doesn't come out, then and do that, then you'll see Dort on this team another year, and that's fine. That's not a knock on Kassan. It's just the way it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, and when I talked about Kaysen and his fit, I felt like if Sam Presti picked Kaysen in this spot, then to me it would represent more about like where he saw this team going. Like, I didn't want to see us pick a big man for the sake of picking a big man. I want to, like, if we can continue to pick the best player available, if it's a guard who can make plays, that's preferable to me because that says we're still in the team building phase.
Yeah.
When you start picking big men, then it's like, okay, now it's time to round out the group.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready for that yet. And I'd like to see us continue because we are anticipating continuing to have lottery picks for the foreseeable future because of all the trades we've made. I'd like to see us continue to get the best player available. And generally speaking, if you're picking around 10 or 12, pick the best Kentucky guard on the table and you'll be good.
You'll be good. There you go. Rolling Road Dog right here throws out Kassan Wallace is the son of Marcellus and Mia. If you guys don't know, he is referring to Pulp Fiction right there. And I fucking love it because I would have totally passed over my head if I hadn't just recently seen the movie. So, hell yeah, Road.
That was gonna live over my head, bro, until you explained that one to me.
Matt, I'm so glad you brought up Cooper Flagg. That dude can straight up play. He's got a pretty cool last name up until the GG. I prefer a TT instead of a GG, but that's just the way I believe. So. Flag is, I guess, all right.
We'll adopt him. yeah, dude. I've watched some of his highlights. Like, my understanding is he's not even about to enter college. Like, I was watching, like, 16-year-old highlights, and he looked like he belonged, like, every bit in, like, Division I, maybe even potentially, like, depending on how he performed at that level, like, a number one pick in the future. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. He's like a man child playing against, you know, older people right now. It's crazy.
From Maine. Yeah. And our family goes way back in Maine. So yes. We got connections, but Cooper Flat, I mean, Flag is
starting it already, man.
Yeah.
All right. So thoughts, Frank brings up thoughts on the US FIBA roster. It's cool and all, but they forgot some of the good young players. So.
I'm not aware of the roster. I should look it up.
You won't like it, man.
Oh, that's
you'll
fun.
Be disappointed.
That's fine. Let's do it real quick.
All right. Ant was one of the better players. I was like, what?
FIBA 2010 was one of my favorite things ever. So
we had three players in there.
Yeah, and it was also like Steph and like other guys like that, that you're just like, this is the future. So we got Paolo, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Triple J, Cam Johnson, Walker Kessler, Bobby Portis, and Austin Reeves. What the fuck is that, dude?
I told you it was going to piss you off, dude.
Austin Reeves, Josh Hart, Cam Johnson, Bobby Portis, and no J-Dub? I mean, I got no problem with Paolo, Bridges, Ant. Halliburton's good.
But Mike, let's just be honest though, right? Let's be honest right now. If someone says to me, you can have Ant or J-Dub straight up. It would be J-Dub without even blinking. Like, is there anybody in the chat that would pick Ant over J-Dub right now?
Speak now so I can go ahead and block you permanently.
But kidding. Think about it. He's got a $260 million contract now attached to him. You know, like, this is insanity, bro. Like, J-Dub, he might sign a $260 million contract. It might be more, but come on. Like, this is ridiculous, man. Like you said, Josh Hart, it's ridiculous, man.
I like Brandon Ingram. I like Triple J. Cam is in. Walker Kessler. Okay, you got to pick one. My kid's playing with my lighting here. You got to pick one Christian Laettner every time, right? So, Dream Team plus Christian Laettner. All right, we'll throw Walker in there. Bobby. You got
2012 and who was it? Anthony Davis. So, whatever. I get it. It's just bullshit to me, dude. I like our players, and it's been 23 years since we had that the FIBA team, or 13 years since that FIBA team. You know what I'm saying?
That was special, man. And it's not going to be, we're not going to be reminded of that with that group of fucking losers.
Fuck that. All right, guys. We will see you guys tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be able to be here for the full game. I got some stuff going on tomorrow afternoon at like 5 o'clock. So I will be here for at least halftime of the game tomorrow. We'll be live. And again, huge shout out to our newest members to our team. Mark, who are they again?
All right. So we got Smitsta.
Smitsta.
We got Blake.
Blake.
We got Wayne.
Wayne?
We got K Bizzle.
K Bizzle. You guys are awesome.
Ryan, the first one to show us the love. We feel it deep down. We appreciate you guys, and we will see you next time.
Peace.